John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I've enjoyed myself immensely being here. Enjoy my accommodations. Enjoy your fellowship. Enjoy how you take care of me and all the good food and all the love and care that went into preparing it. And I often talk about the gospel. I tell the folks at home, you know, we set the table. I remember one time, I'll tell you all this and get into my message. But years and years ago, when I first hadn't been pastoring very long, and I'm bad to get discouraged. Not just bad, to get real discouraged. And I had a little old Holstein calf, bottle calf. You ever seen bottle calves where you feed them on a bottle, you know, and you raise them up? Well, I'd have to go down there and feed that calf. But one Wednesday, I was so down, so discouraged about how things were. Nobody come to services, you know. Hard to get something to preach. And I says to myself, I said, well, Lord, I just don't even, you know, I'm not even going to try to get anything to say tonight. I'll just go if anybody shows up. I'll take it, play it by ear. So I started down to the barn to feed that calf. On the way down there, boy, this Lord slapped me right square in the heart. He said, you're going down there and feed one calf, and then you get discouraged about feeding my sheep? And I talked last night about Christ going after one. And I said, Lord, forgive me. If there's one there, I'm going to have something to feed him. And we set the table with grace, righteousness, forgiveness, justification, sovereignty, election. Oh, we set the table with the things of God. Yes, the things of God. John 18. The title of my message this evening, Glimpses in the Garden. Glimpses in the Garden. I'm going to read these first 11 verses. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Our Lord, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Our Lord hath said unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Our Lord answered again, said, I told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it? In any place you read in the Scriptures, in every situation and circumstance in which our Lord Jesus was found, they were just revelations of His character. So many revelations in any situation you find Him. Anybody He's talking to, any miracle He's performing, any word He says, any situation it is, it's just a further revelation of His blessed, blessed character, of His blessed person, of who He is. And wherever he was, and whatever thing was going on, his unique personality could not be hid. This couldn't hide it. If he saw a multitude hungry, he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd, and being moved with compassion, he fed them. Whether it's 4,000, whether it's 5,000, he said, I'll feed you. I'll feed you. Move with compassion, sheep without a shepherd. When he heard the cry of a beggar sitting by the wayside one time, crying for mercy, our Lord Jesus Christ stopped and gave that poor man sight. Oh, every way you find him. And oh, beloved, when he looked on the fields, he see more than just flowers. He saw more than just weeds. He said, and then he looked on him, he said, see those lilies out there? He said, they're beautiful. But Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like these. No, Solomon had glory. The Queen of Sheba came all the way from the south to see him and see his glory, to hear about his tales. But he said, Solomon is not dressed like those there. My father dressed them. He gave them the beauty. He gave them the color. He gave them the smell. He gave them the fragrance. And he said, whenever you think, what am I going to wear? He said, you remember, if my father clothes them, what in the world is he going to do for you? What's he going to do for you? So you see all that he's got on it. He reveals the truth of God, but also the need of man. And as you read the scriptures, and you hear his voice, we sang that song, we hear his voice in every line. And you know, you read the scripture and you hear his voice, you begin to really see what a wonderful, wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a blessed, wondrous character, as we read the scriptures, is opened up before our very eyes to see this glorious person, this God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many people saw him that never saw him? How many people heard him and never heard him? The people that watched him or stood there and saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, were sooner or later they stood at the cross and said, crucified. Crucified. But here in these verses that I read to you this evening, we see some glimpses, just some glimpses of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ while he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And our Master, even in his earthly weakness, we see such strength, we see such glory, we see such power. So let's just look at just a few things here and see if there's some glimpses of our Lord's wonderful character. And maybe see some more revelations of it. Look what it said here in verse 2. Excuse me, verse 1. Our Lord Jesus, when he had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, which where was a garden. Now he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where he's at. And he often resorted there with his disciples. It's not the first time he's been over there with them. It's not the first time he's entered into that garden with the disciples. And yet, and that's why it says there, Judas, which also betrayed him, he knew the place. He knew exactly where Christ was going to be. Because he oftentimes went over there with his disciples. And you know what our Lord went over there to do? He went over there to pray. That was the place we went to pray. He often prayed there. And in this particular place tonight where I read to you, he had already went off and prayed 3 times before these men ever got here. He had already prayed 3 times. But this was a place where our Lord Jesus Christ went to pray, to call on his Father. He not only prayed, he not only possessed the spirit of prayer, but he also had a place to pray. And that's one thing I think every believer ought to have, is a place to pray. Our Lord said he went into the closet. And I think we ought to have a place where we get along with God. Do like our Master did. Emulate him in that sense. Get along and call on God. Amen. Desire his presence. Open the scriptures to me. And wisdom. If you ask for anything from God, if you're his child, say, give me wisdom. I want wisdom. Give me some understanding of your word and wisdom to understand it and delight in and rejoice in and explain it to others. Understanding of your character and your nature. Understanding of the character and nature of men. Understanding of your salvation that's free and suffering. Give me some understanding and wisdom how to tell it. Oh my. And all beloved, and all of John 17 here is our Lord's prayer. And that's why I said when he has spoken these words, then he says, come on. And Jesus, and it said here, there in verse 2, said, and Judas, which betrayed him. Every time you hear Judas' name mentioned, it's he betrayed him. Judas Iscariot, which betrayed him. When you hear John's name mentioned, it's always John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. But oh, what a solemn warning for us. He knew the place where Christ was. What a solemn one. He had been a companion of the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. He had seen the miracles of our blessed Redeemer. He heard the sermons that our Savior... He heard Christ preach the Sermon on the Mount. He heard Christ preach time and time again. He heard Him denounce the Pharisees and the scribes. He heard Him talk about the last days. He heard Him talk about, oh, so many things. Heard His messages. Heard His private instruction when He sat down and He talked to them. Professed Himself to be a believer. Worked and preached in the Lord Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And it says Judas, which had betrayed Him, knew the place. And how many have betrayed Him who knew the place? How many have I known, Don, that you know has betrayed Him? How many has walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ? They knew the place where He was, and yet walked away from Him. Lord, what is man that You're mindful of Him? Or the Son of Man that You'd visit Him? What is man that You'd have a thought towards him? Oh, if a man thinks he standeth, take heed lest he fall. All it takes to sink a ship is one little bitty hole. That's all it takes. And the very minute you think you're standing, look out, you're on your way down. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And oh, beloved, old Scott Richardson says, we're like a hole in a donut. What's in the hole of a donut? Nothing. And when God saved us, He saved nothing. And when He runs out of nothing, He'll make some more nothing and save some more nothing. That's what I'm talking about. What is man? If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And all, listen, look what it says down there in verse 3. It says, Judas took a band of men with him. A whole band of men. He knew where Christ was going to be. And watch what it says down there in the last part of verse 5. And Judas, also which betrayed Him, stood with them. Stood with who? Stood with those who came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Stood with Him when He heard Him preach. Stood with Him when He's been in there so many times. Been with Him. And now He stands with the Lord's enemies. Oh, take heed, take heed. Listen to me. Take heed. Don't do that. Oh, cast yourself on Christ and say, oh, I have no strength. People say, well, you know, we all got a weakness and Christ will compensate for our weakness. I'll tell you something. We have no strength whatsoever. We are nothing but weakness. If many of you think you got any strength whatsoever outside of Christ, you're in trouble. We have no strength. I have none whatsoever. And people say, well, we need to sneak up on their weak side and their backside and all that. There ain't nothing but weakness. That's why the Scripture says, thou art my strength. When He's your strength, that means you ain't got none. If He's your rock, that means you ain't got no place to hide but in Him. When you don't know nothing, then He becomes everything. Amen. When you're empty, that's when He fills you. When you're blind, say, Lord, I don't see, then He gives you sight. And so don't be like Judas. Don't betray and cast yourself on. Say, Lord, I'm afraid of myself. Of all the people I'm afraid of, the one I'm afraid of more than anybody else is me. People say, I'm worried about that fellow. I'm worried about me. I'm afraid for me. I know me. That's it. You know, there's a traitor in the castle. Born in me. Oh, what we think sometimes. Oh, God help us. But oh, listen, he had this habit of prayer. But Judas knew the place. Solemn warning. Look at another thing about our Savior there in verse 4. There was another thing about His blessed character. He prayed. Oh, what a revelation of His character. He prayed. And He took His disciples. Wouldn't you love to hear the Savior pray? When he prayed John 17, those fellows sat there listening to that. Hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, I pray for them.
Amen.
And they're sitting there. And then he said, I not only pray for them, but I pray for them which also shall believe on me through their word. That's me! But oh, look at his knowledge of the future. There in verse 4, Jesus therefore knowing all things that would come upon him, went forth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, a man here, in his weakness, knowing that all things that would come upon him, he knew the future. He knew before he came into this world, everything is going to befall. Every word is going to be said. Everything is going to happen. How many times did he say, my hour's not yet, my hour's not yet, my hour's not yet? But it said here that our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all things, what does it say? He went forth. Went forth. Our Lord went forth to see. Now, now listen to me. Our Lord went forth to see and to make certain that all things would be fulfilled concerning Him. I'm going to see that it happens. Look over in John 19:28. Oh my, He went forth knowing all things going to happen to Him. If you and I knew all things that's going to happen to us, me and you would hide a lot of times. Say, I ain't getting out of the house. I'm not going over there. I'm so thankful that we don't know the future. Oh, I'm so thankful that I don't even know what's going to happen tonight. If God, you said, oh, and everybody wants to go off to these places, you know, and see these fortune tellers. We'll tell your future. I know my future as far as Christ is concerned. I'm going to inherit glory. I got inheritance. But on this earth, I don't know what, you know. What if you knew that a year from now you was going to be diagnosed with cancer and it's going to be terminal? Well, you won't know that. And it hadn't happened yet. You know what you'd do? You'd spend all the year worrying about that. And then if you knew I was going to win the lottery, I'm going to make a lot of money. Oh, you'd go out and go so deep in debt, counting on getting all that money. That's why God is so blessed to not let us know anything but Him. But look, John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, what I'm talking about, He knows all. He knows the future. Now that He's in such control that He says, now that all things are now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. What does He say? I thirst. He said that the Scripture, I thirst that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And Jesus, knowing that all things, He went forth. The hour's come. Our Lord's not hiding from His enemies. He knew Judas was on his way there. He knew Judas knew where he would be. He knew that those men were going to come out against him. He knew how many there was. He knew their names. He knew their hearts. He knew their intents. He knew their thoughts. He knew it before they had, for they knew it. They got up that morning. They didn't know they was going to go arrest Christ that evening. But He knew it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen, that's what He says there. You know, in John 13:3, the Father having given all things into His hands. So everything's in His hand, including His own death. Now He's going to empty Himself. And all these things are going to be accomplished. And it says here that He went forth. He went forth to the agony of betrayal. He went forth to the shame of becoming a prisoner and being treated as a common criminal. He went forth to the humiliation of being left to the devices of men. He went forth to having his beard plucked out. He went forth to having his back beaten bloody. He went forth to being slapped in the face. He went forth to being spit upon. He went forth to be lied on. He went forth for men to do what they will with Him. Knowing everything going to happen, He said, He went forth to do it. And He went forth to be cut off out of the land of the living. And know what it says, Jesus, knowing that all things should come upon Him. Our Lord's foreknowledge was perfect. There were no surprises. He knew His sufferings. He told His disciples long before, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I must be crucified. And He went forth to endure, knowing all things. What did He know? He knew the decree of God concerning him. He knew he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew that he came into this world to fulfill all the decrees of God. He knew that, beloved, that he had all things agreed upon in the eternal covenant of grace. I mean, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost entered into this eternal covenant. And beloved, you know, you and I had nothing to do with that covenant. I never entered into a covenant with God, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to know that he entered into one between them, and just as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost entered into it, I was only in Christ as he is in that covenant. And they made a covenant between themselves, and that covenant was that I'll give you a number of people, and I'll call them my people, and I'll give them people to you. I'll give them lock, stock, and barrel. Sin, depravity, hateful, hating, full of enmity. I'll give them to you. The one thing you got to do, you got to put away the sin. They got to be redeemed. You're going to have to suffer for them. You're going to have to bear their sins in your own body. You're going to have to be their substitute. You have to pay their debt. And when you do that, and because you do that, you know what I'll do? I'll give you every one of them. I'll take every one of them. I'll make every one of them righteous in your righteousness. And I'll take every one of them and bring them to you. And I'll give them faith to come to you. I'll do everything that's necessary for their salvation. All that the Father giveth me, so what are they going to do? Down home, you know, these free willers, they say, turn loose of that bitch back there. If you'll turn loose that bitch, come down here, Jesus save you. You reckon holding on to a bitch is going to stop God from saving a man? Hey, Shemir. Is that way Jesus done you? Not just pet and said, please let me in. Is that what he done for you? You don't know. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto you. Boom! He kicks that door in. And he ascends the throne. Oh, if he sits on the throne of this glory, we're sitting on his footstool. There ain't nothing, nobody under any circumstances can keep him from getting to you. And oh, listen, he knew. And I tell you, all things were predicted concerning him in the Old Testament scriptures. And we don't know, and I thank God we don't. Now, I do things that surprise me. I do things that surprise my wife. I do things that surprise the church every once in a while. But I ain't never done nothing to surprise God.
That's what I
need. Have you ever done that? But look what he says about himself. So you see, he went forth. And it says here that they came, there in verse 5. Our Lord, you know, knowing all things come upon, he said, they all come around there and they're carrying their weapons and their lanterns and their torches. And they said, whom seek ye? Our Lord did. And what's what they said? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. I am. I am. And I want you to notice them. They came to take him, and he steps up and challenges them. They didn't acknowledge him as the Christ. They didn't acknowledge him as the Son of God. They didn't acknowledge him as supernatural. They didn't acknowledge him in his miracles. They didn't acknowledge him as Christ in any way. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. You ain't nobody but Mary's son, Joseph's son. And that's his name of humiliation, his name of reproach. And they come looking and said, where's that despised one? Where's that root out of dry ground? Where's that one that there's no comeliness or beauty that we should desire him? Have y'all ever seen that picture where Christ's supposed to be in Gethsemane and he's down by that rock praying? There's this great big light coming down. Have you ever seen that? If you got one of them, carry it to the quickest place you can, burn it. Because you know why Judas had to go there and point him out. Have you got any of them pictures of Wild Bill Hickok? Throw them away. I'm telling you. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but get rid of them.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of them. You know, said like that little boy that God saved him and come home and he took his father's crucifix and smashed it up with a hammer. His father came in and said, "What'd you tear up my crucifix for?" He said, "Just to show you that your God can't. Mine can't. Mine can't." And all, beloved, listen. And when it says, "There I am," what happened? As soon then in verse 6 as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. Oh my. They came to arrest him and ended up falling backwards. Scared. I I've never seen no cop fall back when I told him who I was. I'm not trying to be honest, but I've never seen anybody in any authority fall back when I... In fact, if I tell my wife that I am, she say, "Who do you think you are?" That's the way people do. "Who do you think you are?" That's the way they talk to us. But our Lord said, "I am," and back they fell. They came to arrest him, and they end up retreating. Instead of falling down and worshiping him because he said, "I am," they fell backwards. See, this is the same voice that spoke to Moses out of that burning bush. He said, "Who am I going to say sent me? You tell them I am that I am sent you. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. I am that bread which came down from heaven. I am that I am. Oh, before Abraham was." What? I am. Every time you see "I am" in there, they put that "he" in there, don't they, Jesse? Because that's just in italics. Because it means that I am self-eternal, self-existing. And all, beloved, and here, what our Savior is doing is displaying His majesty. His majesty's power. And it's what a quiet exhibition of His power. He just said, "I am." He didn't say, "Fall down." He didn't say, "Go to hell." He didn't say, "You're damned." He just said, "I am." Such a quiet exhibition of His power. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. They fell back. Oh, this is a demonstration that He was the Word. The eternal Word, the all-powerful Word, the quickening Word. He didn't need to raise a hand against them. He spoke two one-syllable words. "I am." That's all it took. And why did our Lord act like this on this occasion? He wanted them to see that He was more than Jesus of Nazareth. You may think I'm Jesus of Nazareth. You may not regard me. You may despise me. You may hate me. And you're going to take me out of here and you're going to treat me cruelly. But you're going to know that the person you came after is I am. You're going to know that the person you came after here is God manifest in the flesh. You're going to know that I've got all power in heaven and earth and you can't do nothing without me. You can't even arrest me unless I allow you. All I got to do is say I am and you can't even get off the ground. And oh, listen. He's gonna see here and everyone's going to see clearly that He voluntarily delivered Himself into their hands. They didn't apprehend Him. They didn't. He submitted Himself to them. He gave Himself to them. He was not captured. He gave Himself up. You said it last night. Turn to John 7 with me just a minute. "Herein doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. I have the power. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Oh, He wasn't captured. They thought, "Well, we're going to go out and capture this man. We're going to bind him. We're going to take him. He's just going to cower in our presence. He's going to just shiver in our presence. He's going to stand back and be scared to death." And our Lord Jesus Christ just said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth. I am." Down they go. That's my Redeemer. That's my Savior. That's the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. And oh, instead of me going back, I want to go forward. I want to be at his feet. I want to lean on his breast. I want to embrace his feet. I want to be hugged up to him. I want him to hug me. I want to have his presence, and I want him to hold me in his arm. I want to know him as well as a man can know him intimately. I don't want to go from him. I want to go to him. Now, now, now. Lord, here I come. I come and I'm coming. I need you. You're the I am. No. John 7:32, look what it says. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the chief priests, the Pharisees, the chief priests sent officers to take him. They sent somebody to take him. Now look over here in verse 44. They got some fellows together and said, I want you all to go get that man. Everybody's getting, you know, too many people's following him, too many people's listening to him. And, you know, we're losing our crowd. We're losing our money. Well, you know, money's being taken out of the treasury. You know, when you start losing money in a Baptist church, it's time to do something. You know, that's losing money, losing church members. And oh, he comes and look what it says here in verse 44. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? Why haven't you brought him? I sent you. I gave you orders. I mean, I gave you orders. Why ain't you brought him? Ain't that what they said? Why ain't you brought him? You come back empty-handed. I told you to do something. Watch what happened. Why have you not brought him? The officer said, never a man spake like this man. Every time they were... And I mean, and even when they come to get him, he was the one that gave himself to them. They didn't take him. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And all, beloved, he has power over his enemies. He can fell a man with a word or with a look. That's all it takes, a word or a look. He could have sent them to hell as easy as they fell to the ground. They came there to put him at their mercy, and they ended up being at his mercy. They came there because they thought he was helpless, and come to find out they were helpless. And oh, he could have walked away. Could have just walked away. But he didn't come to walk away. What time did I start? Then look what his love, about his love for his own. See how these things of our Lord's character and personality just stands out. And back over here in our text, look down here in verse 8 and 9. You know, they asked him, he asked them again, and they said, Jesus, as he said in verse 8, I've told you that I am. I've done told you that I am. Now watch this. Look how he loves his own. Look what he does for his own. And having note over in John 13:1, it says this, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Amen. Having loved his own. His own by covenant. His own by gift. His own by price. His own by power. And his own, we're willingly his own. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Having loved his own. Oh my, to be loved by Christ. To be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. To have that love shed abroad in your hearts. But look what he says to them here. If you seek me, let these go their way. Now even here, in this particular time, here these fellows standing there. They got weapons. There's a bunch of them. And he's standing there. He's in control of this whole situation. If you're looking for me, if they found the one you want, let these go. He didn't say, will you please let them go? I'd like for you to let them go. No, he speaks as the king, the glorious king and authority. As if, let them go! You can't have me and them both. He wasn't concerned about his own suffering there. Here's the shepherd protecting his sheep. And oh, they would remember the Lord Jesus Christ saying, oh, they come to get him, but let us go. And old Simon Peter said, if I'll go with you. But here the Lord says, you can't go. And oh, our Lord here doesn't act like a captive, but he says, let these go. Take me, but don't you dare touch mine anointed. Let these go their way. You have me. And beloved, listen to me. It's not just. That's what our Lord says. Not just for me to suffer and them to suffer. I can't suffer and them suffer. If I bear their sins, then they got to go free. Sins can't be in two places at the same time, can it, Chris? If sin's on Christ, it can't be on me. If he satisfied justice, then justice can't come after me. If Christ bore my sin in his own body, then I'll never bear it in here. Ain't that right? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Huh? Oh, I said, those sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Why won't I remember them? Because there ain't nothing to remember. They're gone.
Amen.
Oh, you said this morning, who don't lay faith in the charge of God? It's Christ that died. It's Christ. Oh, they can't suffer with him. Why? Because he by himself must suffer. He by himself must pay the price of our sin. He by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right. He entered into the holy place by himself and obtained eternal redemption. He went into the holy place with his own blood. And he came out of that holy of holies by himself victorious. And oh, beloved, and that's what our Lord said. He said there in verse 9, look what he says, that the saying, here again, Scripture's fulfilled which you spake of them which thou gavest me. I ain't lost to one of them. People say, well, you'd be lost again. If you've never been found, you could. In that fact, you won't be lost again. You're already lost. You are lost. And then look what he says here quickly, and I will give you about 3 minutes, and I'll be done. Look what our Savior did here down in verse 11. Look at our Savior to his submissive to his Father's will. He says the cup. Peter, put that sword up. We didn't come here to fight with a sword. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it? He submits himself here to man and God at the same time. And oh, what power is in his submission here, in his subjection, his willingness to do it. Here is the sovereign, yet the servant. Here is the lion causing men to fall down. But here's the lamb submitted himself. And that's what he says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He doesn't say, a necessity is laid upon me to drink this cup. He doesn't say, my Father has commanded me to drink it. But he says, shall I not? Was there any doubt that I wouldn't? Is there any thought for a moment that from all eternity that the Father had this cup and that I would ever for one moment think that I'd never take it? Shall I not take it? Oh, it shows us his heart, his spirit didn't know how to do anything other than do his Father's will. He couldn't help but do it. This is the highest willingness there can be. Shall I not drink it? And oh, what a lesson our Savior teaches us here. If he took that cup, and if we ever given a bitter cup, God sometimes gives us some awful bitter cups. And when he gives it to you, say, this is from my Father's hand. My Father gave me this cup. Shall I not drink it? Oh, I've seen some folks been handed some awful bitter cups and drank it and say, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. It's the Lord. I'll break his cup. Bless his name. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you never come to Him, never bowed to Him, never submitted to Him, don't know what it is to be loved in Christ and to love Christ, God help you right now, to come to Him. Come to Him. Amen. Thank you, preacher.